Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, yes, what's going on?
Yeah, good. You?
Good. Yeah.
You going on well?
I'm going on so well, baby.
Good, good. Yeah. Big guest today, boy.
Oh, yeah, very, very exciting times. Someone that I've actually worked with that you've never met before, so it's the first time you're meeting them, isn't it?
Yeah, so you've got
anxious?
To be on my best behaviour.
Yeah, you worried about anything?
Nah, not really. Just be myself.
Well, no, don't. I was going to say, don't be yourself. Just be...
Oh, okay.
To be a version of yourself, like when you're on a first date.
Okay, all right.
Like when you force people to like you and then they realise what you're really
like. Yeah, like a few years in.
Yeah. Why am I with him?
Yeah. Poor women.
Or anyone that's met you, in fact.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
God. Poor bastards.
Yeah. I'm perfect. What?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, I'll tell you, someone that is saying something once we've asked them questions is today's guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good link.
Yeah. Today's guest is someone very special. Someone who's not only Northern, but also violently talented. Yeah.
Wow.
Whose talent has brought so much joy to people over the years, as well as being blessed with a gift of comedic timing and being an all-round pleasure to anyone who's ever crossed paths with her professionally. I can't guarantee that for outside the workplace because... Well, I'm not qualified to. Yeah?
No,
it's
not.
The multi-talented actor, Lisa McGrillis. It's the sound of the police. Everyone get down for I'll shoot you in the head.
And that's KRS-One. But that's not our guest.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Welcome, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well indeed. Excuse me if I can't really string a sentence together at the minute. I've got a very brand new baby, Super, and I don't feel like I've slept for about 6 months. So I'm sorry if I can't speak properly, which is great for a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's perfect for a podcast. Yeah. Well, you look glowing and fresh. I'd be like...
Thanks, babe.
I look like that now, and I have 9 hours.
I look like I've been raving for 6 months straight at Fabric.
You just like need to embrace makeup. That's what I do. I put makeup on for myself.
Yeah, so it's cheating really, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe next time I might pop down to Mac before.
get yourself a bit of under eye. Yeah.
Yeah, I need that anyway.
Yeah, I've been with a bit of under eye cream recently. It's getting
Have you?
Yeah, same. I don't think it works.
You're getting some fine lines. Do you know what does work?
Yeah.
Botox.
Yeah.
I'm getting that. I'm getting Botox all over my body as soon as I'm allowed.
So how old's the newest addition to the family?
My sweet baby daughter. She is six weeks old.
Wow.
But actually, she should only be like 3 weeks. She came 3 weeks early. So,
she got bored.
She got bored. She was bored in that really like shitty limbo week between Christmas and New Year.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
it does get
boring. It's a shame, isn't it? So yeah, just needed something to do, so she just sort of, you know, okay, I had no idea what day it was or anything, but yeah, that's when she arrived on the 28th of December.
Nice.
Oh man.
Yeah.
What was it like, man, like being pregnant? Well, first of all, being pregnant in this mad year, and does it change anything, like having to
all that? It does a bit, like, well, just because you don't go to any of your appointments, so they're all on, like, over the phone. I'm like, how do you check the baby's heartbeat on the phone?
Yeah.
Do we just need to guesswork?
Put it on there. Yeah. Put it on.
Just like, yeah, so that obviously doesn't happen. So you just got to hope for the best. Yeah.
But you got to avoid, like, those weird classes. I mean, I know this is your second time at the party, but... Those classes are horrible.
Oh God, all of like NCT thing. They're just awkward anyway. But I just imagine people are trying to do those on Zoom, which is horrible, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm a pro these days, so I don't need to do any of that shit.
Yeah, you were ready.
Yeah.
I was ready. But yeah, it was quite weird giving, but bag wasn't packed at all because you came early. I had to sort of like do an emergency phone call to my husband and be like, don't forget to pack the massive sanitary towels and, you know, and the breast pads. He was just like, what the fuck? I don't know where they are. So there was, and you had to wear a mask. You had to wear a mask really? The whole time.
Did you have to wear one?
Yes, I did. But the baby came out the sunroof, so.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't like, you know, doing the all the with a mask on.
You were laid back, numb.
I was like, yeah.
Just popping your head around the corner. She all right?
Just having a look. Yeah, it was quite a strange experience going into that sober, you know, getting cut open and somebody. I just remember them saying, grab a leg, grab the leg. I was like, what the hell? And there was a man with his full weight sort of under my ribs. It was the most bizarre sensation because you obviously can't feel pain.
Yeah.
But I could feel like this weird tugging and the weight of a man sort of just under my ribs. But yeah, it's very weird. Weird. And then no visitors. My little girl, unfortunately, she wasn't very well for the first week. So she was rushed down to the NICU, like intensive care. And so that was really awful because I was in a ward and my husband wasn't allowed to be with me on the ward because of the COVID restrictions. And so it was all very odd.
So Lisa, obviously being pregnant the whole time, how was that? Did you have like much time to like chill, or were you working as well?
We did our little thing, didn't we, in the summer? Was that in the summer? I can't even remember when that was. September, was it?
Yeah, it was about September time. We did a little pilot, but it's now been can't really talk about it, but we'll spend more
can't
time.
Can't talk about that.
But I can say it's really good.
Yeah.
I'm unbiased and I would say if it was shit.
It would be really awkward if you said it was shit, wouldn't you?
I watched it was shit. But I can't believe it.
But then like my husband was working in Prague for like 3 months and he was like locked down in Prague. He couldn't get home. Yeah, that was a nightmare because...
I'm half Czech. My family all lives in Prague. I could have hooked him up.
Yeah, the submarine.
You could have fucking sorted him out.
Yeah. My uncle around dropping in bits and bobs.
Yeah.
I would never
We can
have
buy
that.
You a Russian submarine. Get you back quick.
Mate, they flew them back in the end because they cancelled all flights and it was 2 days before Christmas. They had to fly them back on a private jet.
Nice.
That's a great story. Wow.
Worth it.
That's amazing.
Nice little eight-seater.
I'm like, I'll tell anyone that'll listen to that story. I'm like, yeah, he went on a private jet. So
That's sick. I was 100%. I'd be in solitary confinement for 3 months if it meant just one.
Yeah.
but flying back from Prague, it only takes about 15 minutes. So I feel like that was an opportunity and it was a shit flight.
Can we fly via sort of Africa?
Yeah, come on.
Fly low for a bit.
Fly as low as you can go, definitely. But he got back like 2 days, and then I thought I'll have 3 weeks just lying in bed. But then the baby came about 5 days later. Ruined. Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Ron here, coming back at you like Cleopatra, trying out a new catchphrase. But I hope y'all guys enjoy the podcast. And remember, all the links will be down at the bottom, all the recos down at the bottom, and I hope y'all enjoy them.
What have you been now looking after the baby? While chilling out and looking after it, have you got any recommendations? Have you watched anything good recently? Have you listened to anything? Read anything good?
Have you seen anything? Yeah. I have watched. This is not an exaggeration either. I'm going to say 200 hours worth of Below Deck.
Oh wow!
Yeah, Hugo keeps telling me to watch that, man. Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Hugo, the Mediterranean series, that's my favourite. Seen that one?
I don't think I have. I've seen series, I've seen series one and two, and then I've kind of, like, I really enjoy it, but sometimes just it gets a bit too much for me. Like
It makes you feel a bit sort of, like, a bit brain fried after a while.
Yeah, I feel stupid as well because of the constant, like, coming up.
No, but the thing is, because you are naturally quite thick, Hugo.
Stupid, yeah.
Whereas so high up, it's nice to bring her to a sort of human level.
Yeah, yeah. She can sort of be like everyone else for once.
I really need to watch it. Apparently, there's some amazing characters in it.
It's very addictive and just like better than watching the news.
Yeah,
it's true.
A bit more fun.
I've been obsessed with, and I don't really like to admit this out loud. I mean, I watch sort of a foreign French film as well.
You pretend you like them, yeah.
Yeah.
And documentary, you know. And then sometimes I watch Married at First Sight Australia.
Yeah.
I'm watching it right now.
I haven't seen the new series.
What episode are you on?
I'm only on to episode 3.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, there's that awful guy who is really spiritual.
Oh,
the Namaste
my
guy.
Yeah, he is amazing.
And his poor wife. I mean, she's a bit of a nightmare probably, but I feel for her.
Some of the matchups just don't make any sense. Like, how did you? They're calling the experts, and they're like, "Yeah, we."
I think that they definitely know what they're doing.
100%.
They're like, these are the terrible ones, and like three that might work.
It gets scandalous, man. Like, yeah. It's,
yeah. It's, I like after the sort of bubbles burst, and it's like.
Yeah, you like watching it all fall like apart. Each
other? Or there's always one that likes the other one more.
Yeah, yeah.
That dynamic.
Yeah.
I just love crap TV like that. That's all. I feel like I don't have the headspace to engage with anything other than that.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
It feels like it's been a year of like psycho murder documentaries and trash TV.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. My anxiety levels are so high at the minute that I just need something.
Yeah, it's true, man.
You don't want to think.
It is definitely true. Like, even in it's quite a sick reference in Euphoria, the girl that has really bad anxiety stays in her room watching it. And this American, she watches UK Love Island every day. But it's true. It's kind of that way you need that space not to think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, escape a bit.
Yeah, man. And see people that are crazier than your life.
Also, you don't need to pay attention. Like,
it's true.
Sort of zone out, think about something for literally half an hour and you haven't missed anything.
You haven't at all. You can look on your phone you could look at Instagram or something for a good half an hour and then come back to it. And if you've missed an episode, it's absolutely fine and no one's going to judge you and no one's going to say, did you see that bit? Because you're like...
Because they can summarise it in 10 seconds like they do at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah, the way they edit it is like you're complete, that there's something wrong with
you. Yeah, you are thick.
Yeah, it's so true, man. I got I also got told to watch 90 Day Fiancé recently, so I started that.
That's really good.
Watched the first series.
The way you said that, Hugh, actually, you genuinely
I'm
mean
serious.
That. Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, I'm not. I
think I just
like
saw you well up.
I'm a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
That's why I can't do foreign black and white deep shit.
Yeah, yeah. It
just really gets to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
So, Lisa, where did everything start for you, like, acting-wise? Like, early on, what were your, like, influences and what made you feel like it was even a possibility as well?
I think that, like, I was just really good at it as a kid. No, I don't know. I was always, like, a bit shit at school. Like, the classic story of just, like, rubbish at all of the, you know, the subjects, maths, all of that shit. I just was rubbish at, but I was always quite good at drama and quite good at art and really good at PE actually. Yeah, really good at PE. But anyway, I just ended up sort of going down that route. Thought I might be a drama teacher or be like a drama therapist.
That's quite something a like that. Way of thinking of it as well, because you're being more of a realist as well.
Yeah
But also I'm from Carlisle and they're just like I was never exposed to like theatre in any way. Like there's not a theatre or anything. And my teachers at school I didn't know about drama school. I didn't know anything like that existed. So I went to university in Newcastle and did, it was a Mickey Mouse course really in performing arts. It was so shit. Like I think we did about 8 hours a week. That was it. And then the rest of the time, you know, just getting pissed up and having a nice time and then I got an agent in Newcastle and she like promised me like a walk-on part in Emmerdale, or like she said, you know, you could be like one of those dead bodies in Steel River Blues or something. you know like I was like, I am getting paid for this. And I ended up doing stuff like loads of really shit local adverts, you know, stuff like selling your home. I don't know what the big problem is. I mean, I sold this place in a day, you know, all of those kind of
regional TV sort of
thing. But I got paid like about £50 for them. I was just like, this is
your mind
living the dream. If I do 10 of these a month, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
But I was getting about like one of those a year and still sort of living the dream.
Well, because it's probably worth about £5,000. Isn't it?
Yeah. Or you could buy a house off the back of that, yeah. But then I started doing loads of like theatre and education stuff up in Newcastle. So, you know, I'd do like tours around schools about like teaching kids to practice safe sex and
nice.
Aim higher education. Just really,
you're not done yet, guys.
Did you ever get one of those theatre companies coming into your school?
Yeah, I remember we had one, and the bell rang every day at 3:30, and their play hadn't finished, and it hit 3:30. The bell rang, and literally like 95% of the room just stood up and left.
Awful. Do you know these trained actors? I remember getting booed, actually booed.
I haven't even rolled out the condom over the banana yet.
but also I was like about 22, 23 and going into a school pretending to be a school kid. It was just like really like, oh, is this my life?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I need more ad work.
How did you even like at that point in your life, and also being from where you're from, even get with an agent sort of thing?
So I ended up doing theatre in theatres in Newcastle rather than in schools. So I kind of just got quite lucky because I got a part in a play that was written by Lee Hall, who wrote Billy Elliot.
Oh, wow.
It was a play called The Pitman Painters, and it started in this theatre called Live Theatre, which is an amazing theatre in Newcastle. And it's a new writing theatre. So it's a bit like the Royal Court or something, but up in Newcastle. Anyway, so this play started up there in this tiny little theatre, probably seats about 200 people. And but because Lee Hall had written it, lots of people were really interested in it. And Yeah, and Nick Heitner, who at the time was the artistic director at the National, he came to see it and was just like, yeah, I want it to transfer to the National Theatre. So suddenly our little play in Newcastle had this stage in London. Wow. and you couldn't get a ticket. So obviously I could then, because I didn't do that sort of drama school thing, so I never had a showcase and I never had, you know, yeah. Agents, sort of access to agents coming to see me in shows.
So then I
got a London agent who was probably not a very good one, to be honest, for me personally. Yeah. But we did the Pitman Painters, it like transferred to Broadway and it went on this incredible journey. And I did it for about 4 years, like touring around the UK, went to Broadway for 4 months and then came back and then ended up just working in theatre in London. So like worked at the Globe and did a few plays and then got like my first TV gig, which was a show called Hebben that Jason Cook wrote, starring like Vic Reeves played my dad and yeah. Gina McKee played my mum. Right. Vic Reeves is just like, I've never been that starstruck when I met him. I like grew up on Bang Bang and The Smell of Reeves and Mortimer. Like that is just my, yeah. my sort of, that's the kind of comedy that really is just gets me. So I couldn't believe that I was working with him. And then we did, so that then got me on telly, I suppose. And I did a couple of series of that. And from then it just sort of became a little bit easier to get in rooms and meet casting directors and get with a better agent.
I can't, like me and Hugo, I know I'm speaking for both of us here, but we can't imagine doing theatre, man. Like that's like hard work. Like you have to be line for line. And
yeah,
like,
it's scary.
And don't you just do it every single day for like a year?
You can't like play off a mistake as a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't ever know our lines, but it always fascinates me, man, the work.
Yeah, it's very different, and I suppose it takes a certain type of discipline. But it's just like when you do have a script, you learn your lines and they're there. But with theatre, you just do it every night for like ages, and it's really good fun. The rehearsal process is amazing, and then like opening the show is always quite exciting and quite nerve wracking, and then it just gets a bit like going to work and it's a bit like Groundhog Day.
I guess when it's like all cemented in your head, you know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The muscle that you're just using, I guess.
But it is exactly. It definitely, I like doing theatre because it really scares the shit out of me. Like sometimes like on like a press night or the opening night how sick I feel and how many nervous poos I've done. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, this is just, this is painful. I'm so nervous, but there's something, I don't know whether you get that, like when you're performing,
Definitely.
You're doing your...
Yeah, especially like
your
big
gigs and stuff.
Like a London headline show. Yeah, I feel that all day. I'm just like not comfortable.
The crowd and you just, because a lot of the time it's like with anything, isn't it? Like the waiting is worse, right? If you're waiting for a job,
it's
worse than when you're actually there. Like once you're there, you're just letting it all out. You've trained, if you've practiced those lines and you've trained that muscle, once you're out there,
cool. You're good. Yeah. I'm a punctual person, but on a London show night, I would arrive, I push it as late as I think's acceptable. So I don't have to sort of hang about before.
I think like what you explained there, Lisa, is like those painful moments, that's more rewarding in the long run because you've actually you've conquered this like super anxiety feeling and yours would be a lot more than ours because we know in the back of mind that we're allowed to fuck up and we're probably allowed to be a bit drunk when we do it. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas, there's nothing to learn.
But you're still standing up there doing it though. But like it is like there's something quite addictive about the adrenaline of it and the way it makes you feel after, like a drug. You're like, fucking hell, I've just done that, and you come off and you're just like, whoa, like I felt every kind of nerve, and I felt like my head was going to explode at one point. And then you walk on stage, and you've got to be totally focused. It's really, it's kind of mental that we can. That, that we can do that. But then obviously once you've done it for a couple of weeks and then you're just sort of turning up to work and going on, it's just,
yeah,
you know, it just becomes like work. But I do, if I could, in an ideal world, if I could do one play a year, just because I do love it. I really love like live theatre. I really miss it as well. It's a shame. Yeah. Our industry's so fucked, and it's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, man. Like, and it's, I guess it's a whole different thing, isn't it? Like, it's acting, but it's a completely different like thing, because you're seeing the reaction straight away and you're getting that straight away rather than you do something on TV. It's amazing. You have that family, like on a good show anyway, you have that family element and you throw yourself into that character and you feel that, but you don't get that, I don't know, that the validation.
It's reactionary.
Exactly. That comes in drips if someone's seen it or whatever, but like doing live is completely different, isn't it?
And it's like I suppose it's a bit like stand-up if you do stand-up, but if you sort of nail a delivery of something, or if you're both feeling like you're on stage with somebody and you can, and then you're getting the reaction from the audience and it's so reactionary and you feel it's really satisfying when you get it right as well. Yeah. Like you have good nights and bad nights and good audiences and bad audiences. And it's just, it's really nice to sort of.
Yeah.
When it's on fire and it's working, it's the best feeling in the world, really.
Yeah. I guess you feel like time doesn't exist a little bit. Like you're not checking going, fucking hell, we got another 35 minutes.
And no one's reacting.
Yeah, I've literally given the best bits I've got in me already.
I know. And also, like, with TV, like, especially when you do comedy, like, which we all do, like, you know, when you do a rehearsal and the crew laugh and they find it funny the first time, and then when you're filming it, no one's laughing, and they're like, God, is anyone...
Yeah, definitely.
Am I not nailing this anymore? Because nobody's even smiling. Everyone just looks really pissed off because I've done it 10 times.
And I am. This what I'm doing here is genius. Come on.
It gets funnier the more I do it, right?
And it happens that when you're like, well, I'm going to change this line a little bit to it, you know. Like I did. Like
spice we did, it up.
To kind of, spice up and throw each other off and make each other laugh or whatever. And then, if it's sort of like you say, you look around and like, his watch or whatever, like, fucking hell, that was gold.
Oh, God. Someone looking at their watch when you've just done some really brilliant acting. You're like, can we go dance? He really put me off.
That whispering in the director's ear and it's not creative.
No one's laughing at me anymore.
I can hear you whispering and I'm acting. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
We're losing light. Classic.
Yeah, classic, isn't it? I always imagine they go out with their wife and then they're just going like that with their hand.
Yeah.
We're losing light. Come on.
Wrap this up. We've been in Zara for 25 minutes. We're going to lose light and my hunger's going to kick in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo!
Yo!
Ha ha!
Ha 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 ha!
Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK stand up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Okay, so when you So when you got on that first TV show, that's like a pretty bit, like, I know you did like little adverts and stuff like that, but it's a pretty solid for your first, do you know what I mean, TV show, seeing as you were into that and like into those people.
I was just always like, how do you get into these shows? How do you do it? Like, how, you know, people always just, I used to be like, how do you get in Gavin and Stacey? How do I get a part in one of those shows, you know? Yeah. And it's amazing how sometimes just things start to fall into place. And, you know, I'm not saying that like I've ticked all those boxes and I've achieved everything that I've wanted to and I've got the career that I always dreamed of, but I am working in an industry that I want to be working in, and I am doing comedy shows, and that's sort of what I feel like I do best, and it's so I feel like very lucky to be doing the work that I'm doing and working with people who I really like, respect and admire, and it's
thank you. You're welcome.
But it is like your show, though. It's like you got, didn't you just start farting around in your bedroom, and then they're like, here, just make a, why don't you have this money and turn it into a TV
when
show?
The BBC talent, they throw money at it.
They throw it, have it, take it all.
You ever done anything? No. Well, you're funny enough, jump on, it's fine.
Come on.
Come on, have a bit of money.
Take this card, enjoy yourself.
But that's why I always ask these questions on here, man. And it might sound stupid, but it's like, you know, that's why I'm like, how did you get an agent? Because we are, like you say, like just being in this industry and, you know, calling it your work and being happy and proud of the work you've done is a blessing and like a winning ticket, isn't it? So it's like, interesting for me, because we also didn't come in the classic way. Do you know what I mean? So it's always interesting for me how people, you know, landed these roles but it's like you said, it's just like getting yourself into certain positions and things falling into place sometimes.
But I feel like as well, because I didn't sort of have like the conventional drama school, like, you know, I'm not trained, I didn't go to the RADA or I didn't go to Lambda, and when I first to London, I remember sort of being, you know, at the National Theatre with all of these, like, I thought they were such posh actors, you know, I was thinking proper actors. Yeah. And then working at like Shakespeare's Globe and sort of working with these really trained actors. Yeah. And I used to be so embarrassed when they were having that chat of like, where did you go to drama school? And I'd be like,
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. But now.
What is RADA? Is that a finance company?
Drama school.
Yeah, sorry, what's that?
I did it at my school.
I did.
Lots of TV, loads of it, and that sort of
thing. But it is though. It's so, and there's a proper snobbery about it, especially with, I think, young graduates who have just come out of it. And then I used to be a bit embarrassed, like, please don't ask me where I went. But now I love it. I love the fact that it wasn't necessarily like a conventional route into it. And it's, but I remember when I first got a job at the Globe, we were doing Much Ado About Nothing, and we were all sat round, you know, doing the table read like you do. And everyone had their versions of the script, you know, the Oxford version and or the Cambridge edition. And we had to go around, so we knew what editions we had in there. And I remember I had, I don't know if you've ever seen them, No Fear Shakespeare, where it basically tells you, like it translates it into English on one side and then Shakespeare on the other side. But I was like, oh my God, as if I've bought this book in to this room. Like,
which one do you have? The dummy version.
But honest to God, we sat around discussing the play, like picking it apart, working out what it all meant. And I was like, mate, I've got it all here in English. Shall I just read it out? Because we could save so much time here. Like, someone's done it for us.
Well, you're sitting there going, I get what they're talking about. Translation. Easy. Got it.
It's all here in black and white. Like, this is, I don't even need to be at this part of the rehearsal.
Did you ever feel like being from up north? I've never been in these sort of circles. So it's just what I assume, like when you explain, you know, these posh trained actors from, I'm assuming, down south as well. And did your accent ever play a part in anything?
I always feel like I never work in my own accent, and I don't know whether, like, I don't know if I sound, I don't know whether I've got necessarily got a Carlisle accent anymore. I probably just sound a little bit generally northern. Do I sound northern?
Yeah, a bit. You sound like you're from Chester, let's say.
Do I? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, West, yeah, I am, yeah. But I never really work in my own accent. Like I remember sort of just working, being a Geordie for ages, and just always working. And now, ever since filming Mum,
can we have a little Geordie off? Because Hugo does a really good Geordie accent.
No, I don't. I just say one thing from Biker Grove.
Go on, Hugo, say it.
I'm on now.
Is it to do with Spuggy?
No, it's Jeff, Biker Grove. That's pretty much it. Our race. Where's Jeff? That's pretty much it.
And I'll jump in and do mine. Fucking raining, man.
It's raining. It's freezing, man.
Both really solid accents there.
Yeah, nice.
Can you do the right example, Lisa?
E-man, pet lamb, woman man, I don't know, lake.
Oh,
yeah.
I've got no idea. I don't know, lake, man, pet. I just always work.
Chuck pet.
E-man. Sick. And then I think ever since doing Mum,
yeah.
Now I'm just typecast as like Essex.
Yeah.
And I can't. It's always been really hard to get away from because I'm like, obviously, I could do my own accent, or I could perhaps try something different. They're like, no, just we want, you know, you're in for this part because you do a sort of Essex accent pretty well. But well, now, but people always think that I'm just from Essex.
Yeah, that's what I thought when we first met. When it was in the was it the rehearsal or read through or something, and I was like, oh wow. Yeah. I thought you're from Essex, and which is obviously what you wanted because you could be accent. So well done.
But I don't know how. I don't know how, because you've both got South London accents.
Yeah, sort of. Like I guess like a mishmash. Our generation's a bit weird because we've got like we spoke about this, didn't we? Like I guess I've got like a little bit of a South London accent, but then there's like people that it kind of on your circles and the people you hang around with and that, do you know what I mean? So like,
I've got West London, I think. I don't know.
But can you hear the difference? Because like now, if I have to do a London accent, mine is just always like go to like that. And it's just, that's Essex, isn't it? Yeah. So I don't know whether I could do a South or a West London accent necessarily. Mine's just like very generically Essex, I think.
Yeah. No, for sure. But I wonder whether like, because you're obviously really good at accents, and I wonder whether is that something you just had to basically do out of sort of survival, like from the start?
I don't know. My dad's really good at accents. My mum and dad are Northern Irish, so like I always, I don't know, but we always do accents. Like I'm desperate to be cast in something Irish because I feel like I could really nail it. That's my best one.
Northern Irish, though.
Yeah, my mum and dad are both Northern Irish, so I'm like, that's next on my list. I want to be known as the Northern Irish actress.
No, it's a hard-hitting, gritty...
Hard-hitting, yeah, that's what I want. I basically just want to be in Derry Girls.
Yeah.
All right.
On and Derry.
Hard-hitting, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I suppose I always like mimicking people. It's that thing of just pretending to be other people and just mimicking accents is just something that I just can tune into them quite well, I think.
I remember as a kid being in Northern Ireland and let's say my granddad was asleep in the living room and my little nephew came in and went, "Who's that wee man in the living room?" And I was like, I'd never tried to do the accent before. And I went in and I saw it was my granddad and I was like, "That's your great granddad." And in my head, I was like, "Wee man." I just thought it was like a little boy. And then after that, I just couldn't stop going, "Who's that wee man?"
Who's that way, man?
My
go-to word is for Northern Irish is rubber dangy.
Rubber dangy.
Wow. Yeah.
Rubber dangy.
Higgle. Yeah, that's what they call me. Yeah, really.
Do they?
Yeah.
What about power shower?
Power shower.
Yeah.
Power shower.
And carry out. Well, I'm gonna go shop. You
carry out.
Yeah.
Right, man. Higgle's really good at the Northern Irish accent. Higgle is pretty good.
You two as a two-hander in something about the Troubles in Belfast.
I sure swear to God, imagine we could be cast together. Lisa McGrillis and Higgle.
Higgle. Playing himself. Where is he?
Take our trousers down. Wow.
I first saw you, well, I guess more like knowingly saw you and took notice of you probably in the role in Mum. So how did that come about? And what's the process like on that, man? So I remember you telling me.
That was sort of like one of those jobs, you know, when they come in and you're like, oh God, oh, I really want this one. Because I was a massive fan of, I'd just been doing a play basically at the Royal Court with Russell Tovey. And he obviously did Him and Her. So I loved Him and Her. I was like a massive fan. So I was doing this play with him, and then Stefan, the writer, and Richard Laxton, who directed Him and Her, they came to see the play, and I met them after, and I was like, you know, fangirling them. And it was probably about a year later that I got a call saying this thing's come up. Will you go in and read for it? And I was like, oh my God, yes, 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 yes. So I went in and it said to do it in your own accent. And the way Stefan writes is, I mean, he writes dialogue, it just how he speaks, how people speak. So all of the, it's sort of on paper, it's so specifically from where he is from that it just didn't work in my accent. So I kind of went in and I thought, I'm not nailing this, but they've asked for it in my own accent. And at the end of it, I went, it just sort of doesn't feel right in my accent. Where's he setting it? And he was like, you know, it's all weirdly around where I live, in East London and East London, Essex borders. So he was like, go away and practice it in an Essex accent. Go away for a couple of days and then come back in and do it. And I was like, wow, okay, that's amazing. He didn't put me on the spot and he didn't say, right, do it now. Can you do an Essex accent? And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And he went, no, go home and nail it properly. Yeah. And my mate, one of my best mates, is from Leytonstone. And, you know, so I chatted to her a lot about it and she sort of really helped me with it. And then I went back in and it just felt, it's very organically, that accent was so right for it. And yeah, so I did it and got offered the part to make the pilot, and obviously working with Dame Leslie Manville, who's just like, again, another hero. She's just like next level. Yeah. And we made a pilot, and it sort of felt, when we were making it, we were just like, this feels like it could be really special. And it was Kelly, the part is a gift really, because she's so funny, but it's all on the page. Like the way Stefan writes and the way he wants the show to be, like you don't move away from the script at all. I know, like with you guys, like you do loads of improvisation and it's very loose, isn't it? Which is so perfect for the way you work. But for the way Stefan works, it's every comma, every full stop. If he's written yeah, you say yeah. You don't write yeah, you don't say yes. It's like you have to say it exactly as it's written on the page, which is a bit like theatre in a way. That
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have that training ground. But do you know why it's so surprising? Like, I know shows do that, but it's so, like, I love Mum. It's an amazing show. Yeah. And I really love comedies that make me feel like I'm watching something real. And the conversation feels so real and like natural, that it doesn't feel like, you know what I mean? Like, it almost feels like there must have been a lot of improv there.
I remember watching Him and Her, and there was some, and I thought, oh, that's really interesting little detail. I can't remember what she did. She did something really, like, she sat down and then she wasn't comfortable, so she put a pillow down and she sat on a pillow, like just a little tiny detail like that. Yeah. But that with Stefan, the way he does it, like every single thing is written. So with my cat character, she's always eating, or she's always she smells everything. And he's written all of those beats, like every, so it's all on the page, yeah. Which can be quite exhausting, because obviously you need to own the character, but at the same time, you are serving the script.
Yeah.
And,
so is there no, like, I kind of thought my character would do this sort of bit.
And I was like, it might be quite funny. It might be quite funny if she said this, and he would, and Stefan and Rich, they would go, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, but no. I like your idea, but no, mine is better. And obviously, I actually think he's a genius, because I feel like those scripts should be published so people can read them, and they can, you could follow the script and watch the show, and it would all be, it's all on the page.
Yeah.
So really, I feel like with Kelly, as much as I don't, like, I suppose I bought my myself to the part as well, but it was like I was handed this gift of a part in some ways. So that was one of those jobs that was, yeah, I'll probably never do anything quite like it again because of how regimented it is. And it's not exactly the most organic way of working because you do own the character to a certain extent, but you don't because I feel like the mastermind behind it is Stefan. But it was a dream job and like one of those things, like I think you said earlier about, you know, if you were doing one of those lovely TV shows, probably like People Just Do Nothing, where you become like a family.
Yeah.
And well, that show is, it's all filmed in a house. So you never leave. So the only characters in the show are the sort of, you know, the eight core cast. Yeah. And we're still all such brilliant friends. Like we like do Zooms together and just they're such lovely people. Yeah. Like, but also just masters.
Yeah.
Peter Mullen he's in fucking Ozark and you just like, and then he comes and does a part like Michael in Mum and it's just like,
yeah, no, you're right about it. It's so interesting, man, because like writing something that's all just based in just a house and you never leave that house, that's a really hard task to not feel claustrophobic. You know what I mean? Like I remember the first time I watched it and I think I was chatting to Steve about it. Because if someone suggests that, you'd be like, I don't know, man. Do you know what I mean? Like for a good comedy, I'm talking about for something that actually makes you want to be there and is funny, not just like a classic laughter track sitcom. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an amazing piece of work, man, because you don't even feel like they're stuck in this house. There's just going on, do you know what I mean, in little pockets of the house.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. But yeah, it's a sick show. And then how did... So you worked with our good friend Tom Davis that's been a... Jared, Tom and James as well, James Fun.
Yeah,
you worked on King Gary.
Yeah, that was, I am such a massive fan of Tom. He's just like one of those people that walks into a room. He's got an amazing energy, hasn't he? He lights up a room and and commands a room without opening his mouth.
Yeah, it's true, man. And he's sick stories as well. He's a sick
amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
Amazing storyteller. And have either of you worked with him in an acting capacity?
I did a short film with him. That's no one's really seen, but it was good because we'd always kind of wanted to work together. And so this was our first little taste of it. And then we did a taster with me, Hugo, Steve and him for this show that has now been commissioned for Channel 4 with James Dufresne directing it. So, yeah, we did a taster then.
Can I be in it, please? Please, can I be in it? Please, can I be in it?
Yeah, do you know what? Yes. Yeah. It's not a bad shout.
I do a really good Northern Irish accent.
You know what? I can't really say much about it, but it could be a little... We actually had a character that's from... I think she might be Northern Ireland or Scottish, something like that. You know, you can flare it up in the way. Yeah,
it's close.
I could work.
But we know what it's like to work with him, man. He's a pleasure to work. And James as well is so up for, you know, creative collaboration as well, like with acting.
Yeah.
Gets the best out of them.
And I like their relationship, the way they work together, which again is similarly like you guys, that they're like friends from school, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. There's that energy there, that good energy. It's sick. Yeah.
It's brilliant. So I went in and read for them. And it was after my one and only time probably ever at the BAFTAs. But we were like, Mum was up for some awards. Like it was up for about five awards at the BAFTAs. Didn't win one, not one. Anyway, but we won't talk about that. But it's really, the BAFTAs are like so boring, aren't they?
Yeah. And I need a piss every 15 minutes in life. So like I kept running to the...
Awful.
I think people was thinking that...
You're doing a bit of cocaine.
Yeah, like I'm all honestly, I've just got a weak bladder, man.
And
just before one year, we were up as well. And it was just before our category. And the security guard wouldn't let me back in the building. He's like, no, because they're just about to do a category. I was like, no, I know, I'm in it. And then I had to wait there like a minute and then like ran back in.
Yeah. But like ended up, we all like, because you're so hungry and so thirsty, yeah, after the, you then like neck loads of wine, don't you? And I got really like really pissed. We all did, got because we were all a bit like, God, bullshit, we didn't win anything. So yeah, we all just got really drunk. And but in the morning I had my audition for King Gary.
Oh, oof. Wow. Fuck it up.
I think it sort of worked for
the character.
Mad K. I left like all of my fake eyelashes on. I didn't really wash my face, so I looked a bit needs a wash, and sort of went in. And Mad K's a bit skanky anyway. So I was like, I'm gonna use this. But yeah, I just walked in and met them both and was like, oh, this is, I just liked them straight away, you know, it was like
vibe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They're sick guys, man. That's a good bit of advice, yeah, for one. If you want to get a role, just get battered the night before. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sick. Then what do you feel like the future holds at the moment, man? Like, I guess I feel like the TV industry is getting back into just socially distanced filming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It feels like there's stuff happening. I mean, I'm starting King Gary on Monday for 5 weeks, so that'll be
nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good. But I'm also like a bit like, oh my God, just because I'm not getting any sleep at the minute, as I'm sure you remember Hugo from those early days. Oh,
well, you'll
God,
enjoy so... filming though.
Yeah, exactly.
At least you'll get a sort of solid, you know, you won't get disturbed. You might get a few phone calls.
It's more the milking situation that I've just, it's really annoying because I'm like breastfeeding. So you've got to like express every two hours.
So have you got a stockpile for when you go?
Fortunately, I've got a lot of milk. I'm like a cow. I'm like a really milky dairy cow.
Old Lisa Tickets.
That's my nickname, Old Milky Tits. Which is amazing in a lot of ways, but also like Mad K's gonna look like she's had some sort of weird boob job. that'll be interesting. I'm glad we're not doing this podcast next week because I might be a bit like not being able to speak properly by then.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's funny. It's like in our industry, and I certainly feel like this as a woman, that we're so replaceable. Do you know what I mean? If I can't do the job, they'll just give it to somebody else who's funny. Mm. You know, there's plenty of brilliant actors out there who are very capable, if not more capable than I am. So that's, I'm like, if I don't...
That's where you're going wrong, Lisa. Our book, and realise that you are better than everyone else and people are...
I know!
You. You're wrong.
Why don't people just... That's it. Why don't they just know that I'm the best one for the job all the time? Yeah. Like, give me a month off, mate. Give me a month off.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's sweet then.
We're meant to be doing our thing, hopefully. That secret thing that we're meant to be doing.
Our little secret thing, yeah.
Our secret special thing that we're doing.
Yeah, documentary about dogging.
You both take it up. Right, I'm quite hesitant now. I'm in a car park full of men.
Right, Lisa, a question we ask all our guests. For me, it's like one of the most important parts of the show.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I'll tell you, bro, this is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich?
What is your favourite sandwich?
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
No.
It tells a lot about a person.
God, I mean...
Oh, wow. Amazing, yeah. So Lisa's showing us a plate with some crust on it. She's just bodied a whole sandwich.
You see? Can you see what's on the plate? It's a basic.
You're partial.
Bit of rocket floating about there.
There is a bit of rocket, but...
Yep.
It's a basic cheese and Brunson pickle sandwich.
Nice.
I don't know if that's my favourite, though. I'm going to say my favourite sandwich is probably a tuna melt.
Wow. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, but they're great.
Interesting. Very interesting.
What does that say about me, though, that I'm fishy?
Yeah, a little bit. And so, fishy and
simple pleasures.
You think it speaks volumes about you?
Yeah. No, no, no. It
what does this sandwich say about you that you're fishy?
No, and melt is toasted, isn't it? So, like, sort of crispy. Says it a bit crispy.
Fishy, crispy. Crusty.
Yeah, yeah.
Smelly and warm.
And a bit cheesy.
Wow. Wow.
No, no, she's, I respect that. I respect
on the nose, she's definitely fishy, cheesy and crusty.
Do you know what it says about
wow.
you? It says that you are not scared to be yourself, and that is all we can ask for.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Namaste.
And then another part of the show, this is the last part, and actually probably the most important part, is you've got to ask us three questions each.
The three questions.
Three questions. Questions.
Okay. So I'll start with you, Sipa. Good job there. Who out of the People Just Do Nothing cast do you think is funniest?
Wow. That's a killer. Jesus. Okay. So I'm going to be...
Just say Hugo because he's there.
Well, yeah. Actually, the answer is Hugo, but I need to be political with this, yeah? They're all hilarious and they're all funny. You know, like, I've never met a bunch of people as funny as them. You know what I mean? I'm so lucky. But I'd say Hugo only because Hugo out of the group, we had a one-on-one friendship before he introduced me to the rest of them. Do you know what I mean? So that Hugo was like the common denominator. Yeah. So because of that, we've always had an extra little thing there that we kind of get each other's comedy. Do you know what I mean? Even though we all do, but maybe that's why he is just put in my heart. And I love watching Beats. Like, Beats is my favourite character. Like, I've always said that. And I love him. I love him because he's probably the furthest from his lines in the show. And that's because of that, he's always putting something new in there. And he's just cutting, it's just coming off the head out of nowhere. And sometimes you won't even notice it. And you'll watch it back and you're like, wow. Like, and I'm just in bits. So you just like, yeah. But
thank you, sir.
The relationship you have with your stepson.
Have a good day.
Yeah, great.
I love him. I love him in real life.
He's just the most perfect relationship. It's so funny. Right. So if I just got another question. Actually, I only sort of said that to put you on the spot then. I just thought you were going to say Hugo because he was here.
Oh, do you know what? Okay. So maybe it can be the same question. Now we can put Hugo on the spot.
Yeah, okay, Hugo. Who do you think's funniest?
Similar answer to Sipa, really. Like, I've never met any other people that have made me laugh or that I find, you know, like, we all kind of understand each other's references and jokes, and there's a competitive angle, I think, from all of us with sort of who can be the most ridiculous. But I would say I think that our references and our interests are super similar, so Sipa as well.
Are you about to cry?
Yeah.
Gosh, I was going to say, I could see tears in your eyes, Sipa.
Yeah. I'm just welling up looking at him.
No, I'm just knackered.
Just really tired.
Yeah, been up at 5. So it's been 2 years of it.
Okay, question two, Lisa.
Okay, question two. Who is the most famous person you've ever met?
That's good.
Your mind.
Yeah, no, that's it. Because sometimes the question is like, who's your most famous friend or who's you've had a
situation?
Like, I don't really, and I haven't had any situations. So met is good. So met for me would probably be Post Malone.
Oh.
Post Malone, because he's massive in America and worldwide.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Okay, top three then. Post Malone, Ed Sheeran, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, wow, you met Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais is a good one.
That is amazing. Yeah. I wasn't there.
Did you speak to him?
I'm not saying he liked me or had a conversation with him, but I met him.
That's a good one. Who's yours, Ed? What about you?
Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys?
Yeah, that's
why.
Yeah.
I mean, she would never remember me, but I spent half a day with her. Mary J. Blige. Yeah, Post Malone.
Yeah, that's a strong lineup, to be fair. All right, question three, Lisa.
What's the best restaurant in London that you've been to? Because you're a bit of a foodie, aren't you, Sipa?
Yeah, man, I'm into food. There's so many, so what I'm going to do is shout out something that's close to, like, as in, like, close to my heart, because my friend owns it and it's amazing food. Black Axe Mangal. Shout out Lee Tin, and he's an amazing chef.
Where's that?
It's in Highbury and Islington sort of area.
What kind of food is it?
It's like a bit of everything, really. It's like the menu's always changing, and he's got this sick, like, kind of pizza oven type thing that he makes his meats in. And yeah, he's just a bit of a G.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he used to be the head chef at St. John's and, like, worked his way up through that. And
I feel like that wasn't like that. I feel like that was a bit of a cop-out question, but I do want that recommendation. So I'm going to ask Hugo a different question.
Okay.
Hugo, like, what's the best lie you've ever told?
Ooh.
Oh, God, there's so many.
Is there a good lie that's got you out of a really sticky situation?
Well, I can say one that I tried and failed, which was a big, big lie as well. I was working at Waitrose in the fruit and veg department. I was like 18 and I wanted to go home. I just didn't really want to work that day. And so I thought, this is a good excuse. And I went to the boss, oh God, my sister's been hit by a car.
Oh my God.
And they were like, okay. And I was like, yeah, she's gone to Ealing Hospital. I'm going to have to go. And they were like, the thing is, your shift finishes at 3. It's like 10 a.m. So, you know, you can leave at 3. And I was like, yeah, really bad way. So, probably going to go now.
She's been severed in half.
And then I went upstairs to go. And I remember just being like, fucking hell. Like, that excuse didn't even work. That lie didn't work. Like, I came back down like, it's cool, I spoke to my mum, I'll stay till 3. Apparently she's all right. So bad.
That's really good. Oh man. On that note, Lisa, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so
very much.
The last question we ask all our guests is, are you now our new best friend?
Well, I'd like to think so. I think I'll be much closer to you once I'm in your new Channel 4 series that you've had commissioned,
playing
my Northern Irish character.
Yeah.
I feel like we can really cement our friendship then.
Yeah, okay, cool. You're sort of breaking up, so I can't really hear you anymore. I'm going to have to go, Lisa. See ya. Bye.
My internet's slowing down.
No, thanks so much, Lisa, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're an amazing guest.
Oh, it's been lovely chatting to you both.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Whoa! And there you have it. This is the outro. How you feeling,
another
baby boy?
Instant classic.
Oh, come
on.
Yeah,
good, man. Yeah. That was great.
We just shit them out at this point, innit?
Oh, instant yeah. Classic. We just literally, easy, easy.
Yeah, easy money. Especially with someone as lovely and charming as Lisa. It was amazing. Mm. Thank you so much for coming on. If you're listening back, which you're probably not. But thanks for coming on.
You
should check out her work. Check out Mum, amazing series. Might still be on the iPlayer. King Gary, of course. I know she's currently going into film season 2 of King Gary. And also you will see her gracing your screens alongside me with some beautiful magic that we make together.
Whoop.
Hugo, if you're lucky, I'll let you come down to the set one day if you like.
Yeah, man. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Come down, free lunch, bit catering.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
nice.
Get me a car and I'm there, boy.
Big time. I've been
Alan Mustafa,
and you've been
Hugo Chegwin.
Exactly, and we've been
chatting shit.
No, the chatting shit brothers.
The chatting shit brothers. Yeah, it's a long phrase.
Yeah, exactly. All right, shout out all the shit munchers. We love you. We want to be you. See you later.
Bless.
Shout us out. Oh, yeah. Also, we forgot to say that you lot must like and subscribe as well, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Just click on it. It's real easy.
Lift your finger, drop it when you see the like or subscribe. Done. All right? Yeah.
Done.
Also, follow us on Instagram and our new Twitch account, because we will be doing live episodes on Twitch every now and then. So keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are the Chatting Shit Podcast. That's the Chatting Shit Podcast. All right? So follow us on both of them. And also, if you've got any questions, anything you want us to talk about, hit us up on the email. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. Nice one.
Sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magendie.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip hop, hip hop. Am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.